Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Coming off the bench.
What was it concerning about coming off the bench? Coach always say, you know, it don't matter. As long as you go in there, you give all you got, they're going to keep you in there. So I was just more concerned on just going there and just impacting, win. Because a win is a win at the end of the day. And just play my game and just, that's pretty much it.
I mean, I don't even want to ask this question.
Bonte, it's time for you to do the legal.
All right, I'll do it in a second, film on Mike. But would you rather see Kuminga start every game or finish every game? I just want to see Kuminga play well. Now, the finishing lineup is going to be determined on how well guys are playing within the game. But who starts, who comes up the bench? We got to do this again? Like, you know, the last 2 years, I've never talked more about who starts and who comes off the bench in my life.
But do you know why?
Why?
How many clutch games have they been in?
45.
Okay. And they've lost a good chunk of them.
But does that have to do with starting or finishing?
This is where I'm going at, is that I think when you were a great team and you're winning 60 plus every year, you know, the results speak for themselves, right? When you're losing some of these clutch games, I think everything can get dissected by the fans and by the media and everyone. And so you get second guessed on a lot of these things. So I think if their record was better in those clutch games, Bonte, I don't think the rhetoric around who's starting, who's closing would be as fierce as it is.
Yeah, it's gotten fiercer, right? But it still was a thing last year. Still was a thing the year before. Whether we talked about Clay, JP, or the back end, whether it was Looney or Kuminga or Moody. I mean, it's just been a constant theme. But what I look at here, and I've been consistent with this, how many minutes are you playing? Whether you start or come off the bench. Kuminga saw 27 minutes last night. When Clay comes off the bench, he saw 27 minutes last night. Or, I mean, 27 minutes on average. So these guys are getting their minutes. Clay, JK, Wiggins. So I don't have any problem with JK coming off the bench. He doesn't have any problem with it. 888-957-9570. Do you have a problem with the starting lineup moving forward here? 26 different starting lineup yesterday. Curry going with Pods, and it worked. Mm-hmm. That combination worked with Chris Paul, Pods pushing the pace, Chris Paul next to Klay Thompson and TJD. You have Klay Thompson and TJD with the nice rapport together, the two-man game between them. I mean, Klay Thompson threw an alley-oop to TJD yesterday. That was the sickest alley-oop.
You think
I was like, whoa, that was too high.
I mean, the one Chris Paul threw from behind the three-point line was sick. That was pretty dope.
That was sick, but Klay threw his up.
He did.
And, I mean, TJD went up to go get it. His hand was at the top of the square. Damn! I wish I could jump that high. Let's be nice, TJD.
I do believe that we have not spoken enough about Chris Paul being in the closing lineup more in these like important closeout games. There's, you know, Steve Kerr, and I get it. I would too. Like, you're going to side with guys that are veteran, smart players who keep the basketball. And I think that right now, when I look at their half court offense, I think that that's a little more important than their half court defense in the stretch. And I think that if I'm Steve Kerr, I'm trying to find somebody who can help set up this offense and help get Curry the rock and help get Klay the ball and distribute it and not turn it over, because the turnovers have been a problem.
Yeah.
The turnovers have been a problem. I think that's one of the bigger problems. And right now, like, I know defense. I hear everybody. I'm it's tough with Chris Paul and Curry simultaneously on the floor.
They're good team defenders, though. If you got TJD and Draymond on the back end with Wiggins defending the way he's defending, not to cut you off, Shasky, but Curry and Chris Paul are smart enough defenders to play within the team defensive concept.
But don't you think if we're in, like, let's just go, play-in game, it's a win or go home. He's going to side with Chris Paul.
Yeah, no doubt.
Probably more times than not. I don't think it's a every single time, no matter what, but I think more times than not, he's going to side with Chris Paul. And I kind of get it.
No, I get it tremendously. Now, you brought up turnovers here.
Oh, that's the one thing that's frustrating me.
They've turned the ball over 52 times in the last three games.
The ones that kill me are the ones, like, you get into the lane, like, and I'm isolating the Draymond one because it sticks out in my head. You get into the lane and you leave your feet, and then you don't know where you're even going to throw the ball, and then you're twisting, turning, and then you throw it into the first row. That, to me, that's an unforced turnover. And I'm just isolating that one. Those are the ones that drive me crazy. And I also seen a lot of these, I'm going to go back door and there's really no pass there, and let me force it in between three and four bodies of the back line of the defense. And it's like, guys, there's no lane there. Stop forcing that pass. That pass does not exist.
So 52 turnovers in the last, well, he had 26 against Houston, or excuse me, 21 against Houston, 15 in the first half. He had 15 on Friday. He had 16 yesterday. 31 plus 20, it's 52 turnovers.
It's a lot.
Yesterday, you gave up 26 points off turnovers. You're a minus 19 in that department. Minus 19 off points off turnovers. It's just not good enough. When you play a good team, you're going to get beat. And they got beat Friday by 2 points with these turnovers. So they've got to clean that up. No doubt about that. All right, now I read the legal film on Mike. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM in HD1 San Francisco. Don't forget, you can also watch us every single day on our YouTube and Twitch streams. Just log out to search 95.7 The Game. Be sure to like and subscribe to the channel while you are there. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal First Class Money Market today, and you can now download the Odyssey app directly from our YouTube and Twitch pages, as we have added the QR code on both pages. Shout out to the Xfinity Mobile text line as well. Warriors get the win last night against Utah. How about the Giants get the season series win for the first time all season?
Great win yesterday.
Beat the Padres. Padres only score 8 runs, so the pitching, I thought, did the damn thing. By the way, Kevin Dana's going to join us at 8:30. Kevin Dana, Warriors Roundtable.
Cash me out one time.
Every week on 95.7. Also been filling in for Tim Roy. We'll talk to FP Santangelo at about 9:20 about the Giants and what he sees from the Giants. By the way, got to shout out my good friend Charlotte. Charlotte Patrick, my boy Craig, his daughter's birthday. Shout out to Charlotte out there. Better at the BSE game.
Oh, nice.
A couple weeks ago. Huge sports fan.
Really?
She wants to be a coach in the NFL.
Really?
Charlotte.
Happy birthday, Charlotte.
Talked to her for 10 minutes. I was like, damn, you know more than she asked me about the game of football. I was blown away.
Possibly.
Probably does.
I'm just joking.
That's okay.
I'm just joking.
I mean, when people are better than you, I just tip the cap. No, keep it moving.
Don't do that.
You know?
Don't do that. No, but Charlotte, happy birthday. Hope you're doing well this morning. Hope your birthday is booming.
Don't reference that man. You want to?
I didn't reference anybody. I just said
Antonio Brown's Twitter account is out of control. I don't follow him, but boy, he shows up on my timeline all the time.
The following thing, the for you and following thing. How does my Twitter timeline always be for you? And it's like, Antonio Brown's not for me.
No,
that's for some wackadoodle out there.
Hashtag guess me every time though. CTESPN.
ZTESPN.
Guess me every time.
Hey, he tweets some wild, wild stuff.
It's like OJ Simpson, right? I know I would see people following OJ Simpson that I knew. It's like, why
hello,
are you following
Twitter world?
I would look at his. I haven't looked at his Twitter account for a long time. I've kind of phased out of that one, but I was like, dude, what are
with the Titleist visor?
Why are we doing this with OJ? Like,
because it's pretty funny.
The guy is a murderer. Literally. I can't say that.
Allegedly.
I have to say, the greatest sports doc of all time was the ESPN 30 for 30, which was like 10-part episode on OJ. I still, to this day, I think it's the greatest one.
It was.
It blew the Last Dance out of the water.
Depends. OJ was great, though. Yeah, it was great. It was great. It's up there.
We needed The Last Dance badly for content. No, yeah, I'm going to look at that doc greatly. Yeah,
I'm not disrespecting that doc. When Edna was crying during the flu game of The Last Dance, I said, "Food poisoning." Oh, wow. She goes, oh, my gosh. She started crying. I was like, are you crying? All right. Anyway, we got to break. We got to hit this break. More coming up on the Duffs. 888-957-9570. Moving forward, you got any issues with the starting lineup? What about JK? How'd he look to you? Where's JK at in your mind? I thought JK looked great. Let's talk about him. Klay Thompson will move into the Giants' direction. All that stuff coming up on the roast. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking. No compromises. ACT. I'll win.
Damn! And that's the ball game. Is Camino Duval strikes out the side here in the ninth.
And that's the best stuff he's had all year.
He really is.
And he lit this place up.
Now, back to the morning roast with Bonte and Shasky.
All right, Giants get the series win. Camino Duval. Couple good outings against the Padres. Got the win Friday in the home opener. Got the save yesterday. Good job by Camilo Duval. Thought Logan Webb battled. And the pitching, look, Padres scored 8 runs in the 3 games. You hold down that Padres lineup to only 8 runs in 3 games.
And a couple defensive miscues really led to those runs.
Yeah, no doubt. Jung-Hoo Lee misplaying the ball. That's the second time I've seen him misplay a ball. A couple balls. The one at Dodger Stadium where he runs into the wall. He's got to figure out where these walls are. He's got to get out there earlier and figure out the dimensions of these fields.
Totally agree.
I mean, that's a catchable ball in the first inning yesterday by Jung-Hoo Lee. But the big... Obviously, the big thing with the Giants right now is the bats.
Well, the Jung-Hoo Lee's at-bats weren't looking good for a couple days. He finally made the adjustment. They were pitching him inside early, and then he was yanking the ball. They're like, all right, well, we're going to pitch you away. And then he's rolling over ground balls to second base.
I mean, he rolled like 4 straight over.
Yeah.
4 straight at-bats.
But then
like
yesterday, he made the adjustment and went back up the middle with those outside pitches. So, look, he's going to have to continue to adjust. Like, there's no doubt about it. I like the player overall. He misplayed a ball in the sun on Saturday. I thought he should have caught that ball off the wall. It's a tough play. That's the one a center fielder dreams of, is the one I'm going to rob a home run and I could time my jump. And to your point, that's where you work on it, catching and snagging fly balls during batting practice. You work on that before games. It's your home stadium. You should know how many steps you have and understand where the warning track is. So I'm 100% with you on that. He's got to be better. But, man, I went to the game on Friday. I had a good time. The one thing that I don't like, and this is just me, and I know that there's analytics nerds out there that are going to disagree with me, I will never, ever, ever understand why you throw your closer out there in a tie game in the ninth inning. I don't get it. I don't do it. I put my closer in the same setting every time. I'm up. Like, that's the only time. I know he hasn't gotten any work, and he's been sitting for a couple of days. I just don't love my closer coming into a non-save situation. That's just me. I think that setting and routine and all those things are so, so important. And this, we're at home, it's a tie game, I'm going to use my closer. I don't subscribe to that. I know it's an absurd thing to be obsessed over.
Well, fantasy baseball, I would always get upset when a closer came into a non-closer situation because it always felt like they gave up a run or
whatnot.
That's
what I'm saying.
But you know what? Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. You got to go with your best guy. Do you want to be like Buck Showalter and not use your closer in a playoff game? Like Zach Britton just standing there in the bullpen in
Toronto?
Well,
that's a do-or-die game.
You know, to run-die. But sometimes some of these games are do-or-die. You got to get series wins. These are very, very important. These are very important. Now you have the season series so far over the Padres. You beat them 4 times. You lost to them 3. That's a positive over the first 7 games against the San Diego Padres. So you got to do what you got to do. The more concern is the concern is the bats, because the pitching was for the ball. Even Keith Wynn Saturday,
he was okay.
He gave up the grand slam. Yeah. You know what? I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that at all. Like, in terms of just giving up 4 runs in 5 innings, he made a mistake to Jerkson Profar. He gets it out there. That's stuck. That was the ball game. But to me, the bats, the bats have to start showing up here. And look, you get to watch the Nationals, and we got the home, we got the opener, or excuse me, not the opener, but the debut of Blake Snell tonight against Washington Nationals. These are gotta have them games. These are games you get fat and happy. You get Blake Snell into the rotation. Now all of a sudden you go Blake, you go Harrison, you got Webb, you start rolling here, but it's the bats.
So let's
it's Matt Chapman batting 195. It's Tyrone Estrada batting 154. It's Jorge Soler now. He's starting to pick it up a little bit here. Jorge Soler starting to put together some good at bats. But Jung Hoo Lee from the leadoff spot batting 205. I know a lot of people, I mean, I would say 90% of Giants fans are fixated on Mike Gostisbehere. And I get it. He's batting 063. He's got one hit on the season. But I look at the big money players. How I operate, I work from the top down. I don't look from the bottom up. So, yes, is he going to factor into a lot of wins and losses this year? Hey, look, Dave Fleming told us last Thursday, Bob Melvin would not be patient with him or Austin Slater. And you're starting to see with Austin Slater, he's got seven at-bats on the season. You're starting to see it with Mike Gostisbehere. This is all the big money guys. And Chapman with the game-winning hit yesterday, I'll take that all day long. But he is batting 195.
Well, the runners in scoring position, Chapman. So before in the game, they had a second and third with one out. You got to hit a ground ball to the right side, or you got to hit a fly ball. You got to get a run in that situation, especially for Logan Webb, who has suffered from a lack of run support throughout his entire Giants career, right? Like, that was what did him in last year. He had the least amount of run support in baseball, even though he went deeper and longer than anyone in baseball. And you got to execute there. So, like, runners in scoring position, it feels like they can't get the big hit.
Yeah, no, they've been awful in that situation. Awful with runners in scoring position. The Giants, at one point, Chapman was like 3 for his last 30, and, you know, runners in scoring position. Tyrone Estrada's not looking good. 13 strikeouts and 39 at bats, batting 154. Although Tyrone Estrada had the big hit Friday, and Chapman scores all the way from first base. Great slide, beats the tag on a great relay throw by the San Diego Padres. Chapman coming through. Estrada came through when you need him. And look, early on, you got to win some games.
Yes.
Ugly. I'm not mad at it. You win the season series against the Padres, who do have good pitching. Dodgers obviously have good pitching. Now let's see what you do against the Nationals. Can you put together some quality at-bats and get fat and happy here?
So who are you the most concerned with when it comes to this lineup?
I'm not concerned with anybody right now, to be honest with you. It's 10 games in.
Well,
10 games in. I am watching. I want to see how Jung Hoo Lee, as he faces Major League Pitt, like, I know a lot of people, we want to crowd him and say he's the next star for the Giants. I'm cool with that. If he's a star, great.
Well, he's got to prove it.
Wait and see, with Jung Hoo Lee. I want to see how it looks the first month, the first 2 months of the season. Because you're going to go on the road here to Tampa Bay and Miami and Florida. Those are nasty. It's always been a nasty road trip for the Giants. Going down to South Beach, Miami, seems like they always lose that series over the years, no matter what.
When I think of Miami on the road, I think of Hunter Strickland. And who was the guy? It wasn't Jazz Chisholm. Who was the guy that...
D. Gordon?
No, there was a guy that hit a routine fly ball, and Hunter Strickland ended up, I don't think it was D. Gordon, and he ended up breaking his wrist. You don't remember that?
He got super
angry because the guy, like, pimped a pop-up, which got sack fly.
Well, the recent memory
did in their entire year.
The recent memory I have is Buster Posey almost breaking his jaw sliding into third base.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. I'll tell you who I'm a little, not concerned, but I think he's the guy that I'm looking at, and I'm looking at Matt Chapman. And the reason why I'm looking at Matt Chapman.
You're concerned about Matt Chapman?
Not necessarily concerned. I just, when you sign a one-year deal, like these pillow deals that these guys sign, I do think there's a lot of pressure built into it. Right? Like, Jung Hoo Lee, there's a lot of pressure just inherently because you did sign a $100 million deal. $100 million is $100 million. Now, it's a multi-year deal, and so there's a little bit of like, hey, he's going to be here for a couple years at minimum, so, you know, he can play himself into it. When you are basically trying to cash in on a career year and opt out, I just think it's really difficult. Conforto tried to do that last year, and it was kind of an up-and-down year. Conforto's been awesome this year, and he's in a contract year again. Matt Chapman is betting on himself, and I see a guy at the plate, and he just looks slightly off. Defensively, he's a stud. I mean, that play to his left, spinning, pivoting, and throwing, I mean, that's a sick play. But, like, you know, like, B, there's a lot of pressure for this guy.
Well, let's be honest. Let's be honest.
And it's not a hitter's park.
He's a lifetime 240 hitter. Lifetime. What?
Lou Brinson was the guy that hit the fly ball.
I don't remember. Well, Louis Brinson, I remember the player.
Who was he traded for? He was a part of a big trade.
Louis Brinson. Lou Brinson. He's a South Florida guy. I don't remember the wrist injury. But Matt Chapman's a lifetime 240 hitter. Like, he's not going to hit for average. He had one season in which he batted above 249. He's got 234, 249, 232, 210, 229, 240, and right now he's at 195. He's had one year in which he batted 278. That was the only time Chapman, over the course of his career, has batted over 249. So he's not going to hit for average.
No, but wouldn't you agree that putting him in the four hole is probably, like, we did this with Brandon Belt for almost a decade.
Who else are you going to put there?
What?
Who else are you going to put
there? No, I know. Like, he's miscast. Right. He's like, no, and no so doubt. What I'm saying is I think that inherently there's a lot of pressure for Matt Chapman, and I would ease him off the pressure. But to your point, like, who are you going to put there? I mean, Soler, I would probably move Conforto up to the three hole. And then I'd move Soler to the four hole and then have Chapman be in that five spot. That's what I would do. And then we're talking one slot. It shouldn't be that big of a deal.
But ideally, he's a six hitter.
That's what I...
He's a six hitter.
There we go.
But then that's why you got to just make it to the deadline. You make it to the deadline in the race, and maybe you can trade for one of these bats on a struggling team. And you got to look at... You got to feast on these struggling teams. You got to be out there in front if you're Farhan Zaidi. But right now, look, Chapman is a guy who's going to strike out. He's not going to hit for average. You just hope the power comes along.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, there's going to be pressure. He knows the deal. He knows the deal. And look, if he fails, he can just opt right back in and get his check.
Which is what Conforto
really did. I actually think he's playing with house money.
You think so?
Yeah, the way I look at it is Matt Chapman just go out there and play baseball. If I fail, well, I know I got a home next year. I could just opt in. If I ball out, I get to opt out and make some more cash.
Now that
he's in a win-win situation.
Now that you've seen 10 games of him, roughly, what do you think of the defense?
All right, he's always been good. We watched a lot of A's games. We knew the defense was going to translate. He's great defensively. He's one of the best defensive third basemen we've seen in the last 10 years.
Do we overrate defense in baseball general?
I don't. Do you?
I don't think there's an emphasis on defense. And I do believe, like, the bat has to carry you in the lineup, right? Like, I think we're going to feel like, for example, Yastrzemski. Yastrzemski's a pretty good defensive outfielder. But, like, when the bat is struggling this bad, I don't even care about your defense, you know? Like, Nick Ahmed right now is doing just enough with the bat, you know, to justify playing every single day. And so he's not getting the ire of the fans. And he's been really good defensively. Even though his arm isn't the strongest, the guy just makes plays at shortstop.
No, Chapman's fine defensively. I'm not worried about Chapman whatsoever. I'm not mad. I'm not, you know, Soler's going to hit for power. But this is what I thought with this lineup. Can you make it to the deadline? Pitching's going to have to carry it. You're going to have to find a couple more bats. Now, maybe that bat is Luis Matos, who's tearing it up right now in AAA. Maybe you need to just get him up because you need guys who can get on base, who can run on the base pass, who can hit with runners in scoring position. Because ideally, yes, Chapman is a six hole. I think he's a six hitter.
I
think Soler is a five guy. Four or five guy. You know what I'm saying?
You're probably right. Yeah, you're probably right.
That's just me. That's my opinion when you look at all the lineups here. So get the bats rolling here. They got to get those going. It's the first week of the season.
Yeah.
So I'm not really concerned about anybody. Not Chapman. I'm not concerned. Now I'm waiting to see what Jung Hoo Lee does. How can he play through his struggles? Tyrone Estrada, what's going on with him? And then is Wilmer Flores just going to be ousted out? Is he going to be iced out here?
Well, he pinch hit yesterday, got a hit, and then they pinch ran for him. Like, it does feel like he's kind of a rotation piece right now. He was your best player last year.
Yep.
But Lamont Wade's been good. I think Lamont Wade made two really nice plays on errant throws where he tagged the runner coming down the line. They look okay right now. I think the Padres are better than everyone gives them credit for. For some reason, I feel like people dismiss the Padres. And I look at that lineup, I'm like, dude, they got hitters, dude.
Well, they do got hitters. But overall, I feel good about where the Giants are at. 4-6. They'll take on the Washington Nationals and
you got to get fat and happy.
And a debut against the Washington Nationals. Debut against the Washington Nationals for Blake Snell. Three-game set against the Nats are going to face. You got Patrick Corbin Wednesday.
I know. Wednesday with him, yeah.
And then today,
it's a good matchup for the Giants pitching-wise.
Yeah, today Trevor Williams. So the Giants should be able to get rolling against the Nats. There's nothing to freak out about.
So a couple quick things from opening day. I'll start here. What did you make of Fred Warner and Deebo Samuel's opening pitch, the first pitch?
50 Cent like.
We love Fred on this show.
50 Cent
poor guy.
50 Cent like.
And then Mitch Wisnowski punting it into the water. Did you like that? You think that was a good touch?
I don't know. But I don't know what the accomplishment was.
I thought that was fine.
It was the first ever punt into McCovey Cove. Yeah, like, it was history.
People still talk about the Matt Cain drive from home plate into the water.
Yeah.
Well, because he threw the perfect game that night.
That's true.
Yeah, I didn't get the Mitch Wisnowski punting into McCovey Cove angle. What did that have to do with baseball in opening day? Are we just punting to start the season?
Would you rather he throw out the first pitch?
I would rather. I just try to figure out what the hell, like, did anybody ask?
Well, the Niners are hot right now, and so they start there.
Like, Fred and Debo being there, like,
that's pretty cool.
That's fine.
Where's Brock, too?
He's in a cornfield.
But no,
he's
going to
reset the pitching market.
Seriously, can we, like, discuss this? Like, why was Mitch Wisnowski punting a football into the cove?
It symbolized the 49ers punting away the Super Bowl.
I hate you so
all right,
much.
That's the answer I'm looking for. That's the answer I'm looking for.
Oh, my God. I hate you.
I mean, we're all standing around it. Come on. It was right there.
So they did opening, like, you know, the pomp and circumstance, and they've got pyrotechnics going, and they're calling out all the names. And you and I were joking around. Was like, who's going to have the loudest ovation? Who do you think got the loudest ovation?
It sounded like Bob Melvin or Pat Burrell or Matt Williams.
Yes, that's who. Sneakily, Yaz got a little pop, too. And I was like, if Yaz's name
I
was
told you.
Mike Smith,
yeah.
There's no way. Like, we're literally just rooting for the name at that point, right? Because it's a baseball name, right? Yastrzemski, yeah! And then, so first inning, you know, very mundane. We're getting through it. I got my wife's holding the baby. She's feeding him in the seats. Second inning. Now, we're up above third baseline. So a lefty's up for the Padres, and we're above the netting because we're in club level, and I underrated how many...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Balls were going to come flying up into this area. I should have brought a glove. Guy sitting in front of us wearing a black Bumgarner jersey, okay? Here comes a screamer back up behind toward us. And my guy sitting in front of us thought he was Neo from the Matrix, sticks his hand out like he's going to catch the ball. The ball hits his hand, and I go, oh my gosh. And Michelle, I thought, you know, I had to twist and turn to make sure that the ball wouldn't hit the baby. We all moved out of the way to, like, you know, try to protect the baby. And I look at the guy, I go, hey, dude, you okay? That looked like it hurt. He's like, I'm fine. And I turn to Rocco, my brother, and I go, for sure, that guy's got a broken hand. There's no way. He got up within seconds. Left the stadium, never to come back. Poor guy, I think he broke his hand. Second inning of the game, he must have paid a couple $100 for those tickets and stuck his hand out. I'm telling you, fans, don't try to catch a screaming line drive with your hands. It will break your hand.
So obviously.
Poor guy.
I want to go back to this punting thing with Mitch Wisnowski. I do. I this fascinates me because 650-XFD mobile text line, he wants to come at the kid. Grumpy ass Fonte. What does punting have to do? It has nothing to do with anything. It's just people having fun. Relax. I'm very relaxed this morning. I'm just asking the question. All right, you get Debo or Fred Warner to throw out the first pitch, which I thought was cool. Fred Warner skipping it after it seemed like he was trying to give Deebo Samuel details.
Almost took your producer out.
Yeah. Well, that would probably be a good thing.
So you were on the field?
Yeah,
he was on the field. Yeah, I was standing right behind home plate for it.
Right. So he almost got hit, Sam Lubman. But we brought out Mitch Wisnowski to say, hey, everybody. And he punted the football into McCovey Cove on opening day of the baseball season. Again, I'm just asking, why? What was that supposed to symbolize? I was watching at home. I was very, very confused. I was very confused. That's all I'm saying. 6'5".
Nobody's thought it was grumpy. Like a Barry and Knight thing. I thought it was okay. Cool. It was
right. Yeah, if a Sharks player shows up, maybe they do a slap shot into the cove, which that'd be kind of cool, actually.
I mean, all right.
Once the Sharks have
like a knuckle puck shot right up into the cove.
You
want to see Steph Curry shoot a three into the cove?
No, that would be cool. Steph could probably hit that shot too.
From way downtown.
It's just like, all right, cool. We got Wisnowski. Thank God we got Wisnowski. It's a lot of people hated that pick. I was like, dude, fine. Got a punter for the next 10 years. And he's obviously got a leg. But again, it's baseball. There's bunting. It's opening day. And we got Wisnowski punting a football into
the cold. There's bunting and there's punting.
Yeah, I don't.
You're reaching now, kid.
I know. I mean, you guys, like, did everybody was like, ha, 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 ha.
I thought it was fine. Yeah, and then
I didn't know what it symbolized. I don't know. I'm just trying to ask for people who were there.
This is your Brandon Belt boat moment, too, isn't it? You hated that one.
Oh, the Brandon Belt. The boat moment was like, whoa.
Mark Willard was over here taking a parade lap on the side. Like, he was in, like, the jet ski behind the boat, enjoying every second of it, and I was rolling my eyes.
I mean,
the captain.
The boat thing, and I remember.
The captain. Is shocked he's not signed right now. Let me tell you why, Brandon, because you haven't been good for while.
That may have kept me out of the home opener for many, many years because he came out on the boat. I said, well, man, you're coming out on the boat like you're the captain. Okay. Well, can I get 30 home runs this season? And no.
So yeah, Howard, the Padres.
Howard is telling me that I'm being too cool. It's just base stuff, Bonte. It's not that serious. I was just asking. Like, we brought out the punt. Like, we brought out a football to punt.
Did you watch? I don't know. When you watched the broadcast at home, did they show you what was going on the Jumbotron for the Bob Melvin?
I did. They showed everything.
Whatever it is, the montage.
Montage.
It was pretty cool to hear. Like, they had a lot of A's, him in A's gear and him in Padres gear. And then him at Candlestick Park talking about, you know, I grew up in Menlo. And so for me to play at Candlestick Park has always been my dream. That was really cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
I thought that was really cool.
I also thought the tributes to all the people who fought, like Michael Irvin was up there on the scoreboard. I felt good about that to see Irv's getting some respect right there. Good for ball, bad for ball.
They had Gwen Knapp up there,
too. Gwen Knapp was up there. Yep, no doubt about that.
And then all the different people. I thought Vida, when Vida came up under the screen, there was a huge pop for Vida.
He might have gotten the loudest ovation.
You're right. Yeah, he might have.
That was really cool. I miss Vida, man. I was, Bill Lasky texted with him over the weekend, man, to see Vida up there on that screen. That was pretty cool.
It was really cool. And then Montel Jordan. Look, there's something about Montel Jordan. For as long as Montel's out there, I'm still in. Maybe I'm alone. Maybe I'm stuck in the 90s. But Montel still does it for me.
Did you do it for you, Lovin?
I mean, it's just how we do it.
Dude, the song knocks. You play this, it still hits. Am I wrong?
The girl who they had do the anthem yesterday, she was 10 years old. She had an incredible voice, just as long as we're talking anthems.
She was good. She was really good. She was really good. She sung the hell out of that song. By the way, Karl-Anthony Towns, great news from Minnesota, Kathmandu. He participated in his first scrimmage on Sunday.
Oh, my God.
There is optimism that Karl-Anthony Towns will play before the playoffs start.
I'm optimistic, Bonte.
For the Minnesota Timberwolves as they get ready to ramp up for the playoff run. Top 2 seed right now, Minnesota.
Before we pivot out of this, I've seen a lot of rhetoric over the weekend regarding the rash. I mean, there are tons of Tommy John injuries all over the place in Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball Players Union is pointing the finger at the pitch clock. I mean, there are a lot of reasons why this is happening right now. I have my own theories. What did you make of Spencer Strider going down? Clearly, Gerrit Cole's been hurt. Yuri Perez for the Marlins. Like, there are like six guys right now over like a 2 or 3 day span that are just going to get shut down for the year.
Not good for the game. Not good for the game. Not good. I don't know what's going on here in college, travel ball, pitching coaches, mechanics. I can't put my finger on it. There's all these theories about pitch clock and whether or not they're pitching too fast or the grip of the baseball or whether or not they should have grip. I know Tyler Glasnow had that long video about what he's doing. Maybe they're overcompensating. I have no idea. I don't know how you fix the problem, but it's not good. And now with all these pitchers going down, now we're going to see a lot of four-inning pitchers, five-inning pitchers. Now we're going to see a lot of bullpen games. And it's a sign of the times, man. It's the sign of the times when we grew up watching Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine and John Smoltz and Randy Johnson and Pedro Martinez and Roger Clemens, and the list goes on and on and on, where guys are going seven like it was nothing. And now you're lucky to get a pitcher who goes six innings. Like, that's what makes Logan Webb so attractive, you know, on the mound. He's giving you seven. We hope Blake Snell is not a five-inning pitcher, because that's what he has been. Now, he shuts things down, and he gets better as the game goes along. But, hell, there's games where he gets to the fourth inning, and he's had 80 pitches. I'm like, damn, how many innings does he have left? You know, the Dodgers, they're getting Walker Buehler back. I don't know what you do here with the Tommy John stuff. It is a serious, serious problem in the game of baseball.
Well, I'm glad you referenced Logan Webb. He led all of baseball with 216 innings pitched last year. And this is just regular season. Zach Gallen, number two. Garrett Cole, who's hurt right now, number three. And I would put Zach Gallen in the same, you know, bucket as Logan Webb, though he throws harder than Logan Webb. I don't view either of them as max effort every pitch guys, especially Logan Webb. Like, he's got movement, and he's going to try to, you know, hit his spots, and he's not going to blow you away with straight velo, just nothing but velo. And if you just look at, like, the top 10 guys, I mean, there's a lot of guys, like Corbin Burns mm-hmm. is number 10. I don't view him as a max velo guy either. You know, there's a lot of guys in that bucket. Clearly, the pitch clock is a part of it. There's no doubt about it. It's undeniable. It is a factor. I think the max effort is another factor. I always bring up Greg Maddux. Greg Maddux, 350 wins. One of the greatest pitchers of all time. Why? Because he hit his corners and he had four or five different velocities and different speeds that weren't max effort, and he was throwing to contact. And I think that's a lost art. Throwing through bats is what everyone wants to do now instead of throwing to contact. And I just think that the way we look at pitching has completely changed. Mechanics, you know, drive line and all the different mechanics, whether left shoulder up, right shoulder up. There's so many different things when it comes to mechanics. Spider tack and the grip, I think, is another part of it. But the number one thing for me is just, like, be at the youth level. The kids are pitching all year round.
Yeah.
Your body's not set to be playing. You shouldn't be playing basketball all year round. You shouldn't be playing football all year round. And you certainly should not be pitching all year round. You should play multiple sports. Yeah. Give your body a rest. I think the specialization is out of control. And you see this in girls' soccer with a ton of ACL injuries on the turf. Right. It's not just exclusive to the elbows, but you're seeing it carry over to the big leagues. And I have a 17-year-old nephew who's coming back from Tommy John. He's a stud. 17 years old, and he's coming back from Tommy John. That means he had it at 15 years old. There's too many kids I know that have got elbow and arm injuries because they're throwing more in a week at 12 years old.
Yeah, it's not good.
Than Logan Webb does, who's a man.
Not good. Not good at all. By the way, 50 years ago today, history was made. Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. Guess what happened?
Hank Aaron?
One ball and no strikes. Aaron waiting. The outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone. What a marvelous moment for baseball. What a marvelous moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country and the world. A black man is getting a standing ovation in the Deep South for breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol. And it is a great moment for all of us, and particularly for Henry Aaron.
Wow, what a moment. And just the fact that the announcer had to say, a black man in the South getting a standing ovation.
Powerful.
Very powerful. We've come a long way in this country. We still got a long way to go. Trust me. A very long way. But death threats that season. Obviously, he surpassed Babe Ruth for the record. Now, obviously, Barry Bonds has eclipsed that record. But wow, what a moment for Hank Aaron, who, you know, just like Roger Maris, and he was white when he was trying to break the home run for the single season record, 61. And he was getting threats, and he was losing his hair, and people wanted Mickey Mantle to break the record instead of Roger Maris. And then he started getting threats, and teams stopped pitching to him, and instead would pitch to Mickey Mantle. But Hank Aaron, doing that 50 years ago, had Dusty Baker on the batter's box, people running on the field, shaking Hank Aaron's hand, the image, the visual, it's just so powerful.
Yeah.
But damn, to hear that announcer say, I hadn't heard that. I can't recall hearing that full call. But just in the deep south, getting a standing ovation, which was uncommon back then, 50 years ago today. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
You know, 42 is a great movie that it's about Jackie Robinson, clearly. Mm-hmm. And they have this little, like, part in it where Hank Aaron goes to see Jackie Robinson play. Mm-hmm. And it's just a little, like, rabbit hole that they go down. And because Hank Aaron, that was the guy he idolized.
Yep.
And he tried out for the Brooklyn Dodgers, and he didn't make it. Originally at 15 yep. years old, which is crazy. 15 years old trying mm-hmm. out for the Brooklyn Dodgers is insane.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many statistics about Hank Aaron that speak to his greatness. 3,000 hits if you took away all the home runs.
Right.
You know, 24-time All-Star, yep. tying Stan Musial and Willie Mays. Crazy. That's crazy, right? It's now, crazy they had numbers. All-Star games for a couple of years where they were 2-1 season, so mm-hmm. it's a little diluted. Never led the National League in single season home runs in any of the years. How? Like, it's like impossible. It's like almost impossible. The model of consistency. He's a guy that I wish we had more documentaries on.
Yeah.
I want to know more about Hank Aaron. I feel like I don't know enough about Hank Aaron, and there's somebody who could tell that story, and I want to see it.
Just looking at his baseball card.
It's 755
home runs.
What's he, a 300 hitter?
Lifetime 305 hitter.
305. I mean, come on, man. Come on, man.
Hits, 3,771 hits. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Hank Aaron, 50 years ago today. 888-957-9570. If you got some thoughts on the Giants winning their first series of the season. How about the Warriors? Where are you at with the Warriors, fans? With the Dubs? Where are you at heading into the play-in? Warriors are a game behind the L.A. Lakers. 2 games behind the Sacramento Kings. If Shaq goes 1-3 and the Warriors go 4-0, they could jump into that 7-8 bracket. It's possible. It's very, very possible. They beat the Lakers tomorrow. They win the season series against the L.A. Lakers 3-1. And then Sacramento, their last 4 games, they're playing Oklahoma City on the road. They had the Blazers, they had the Suns, and they had the Pelicans. Is there a way for the Warriors to go 4-0 and surpass the Sacramento Kings and get to the 7-8? Or, if you're a Warrior fan, does it even matter if you're 7-8? Do you feel good about the team now to where you're confident they can win 2 elimination games and then get into the first round of the playoffs?
Let me answer the back end. It's hard to feel extremely confident winning 2 in a row, but if ever there was a team that could do it, wouldn't it be this collection of battle-tested playoff guys?
You would think so.
You know, I know that they're relying on a lot of young guys that don't have the pelts on the wall in the playoffs like the older guys do. But, I mean, this is why you acquired Chris Paul, right? This is why you got Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson. You kept this core together because they have that equity in the playoffs. And so if ever there was a team that could go on a run, win the 2, and then get into the first round and make some damage, it would be this team. It wouldn't be some young, plucky team.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the comments here. BSDs, I'd rather they eliminate the Kings and Lakers on the road. Huh.
That'd be very difficult.
I know Joe Lacob wants a home game. I think we all want a home game.
Yeah, I'd prefer a home game. Though they haven't been as good at home. So there is something to that. But we know, like, when they go to L.A., they don't shoot well in L.A. It's like, there's like tons of historic. It's a big sample. It's not a small sample size.
And as well, Clay or Steph has had struggles at Crypto.com Arena. Although I thought he shot better last time out when AD got poked in the eye. Speaking of which, he got poked in the eye.
Yeah, how is the eye? Eye gate?
The corneal abrasion is what they're calling it. Yeah, apparently he's going to play on Tuesday. Just wear some damn goggles.
Did you see James Worthy on the postgame show? James Worthy was on the postgame show, Special Sports, wearing goggles, begging AD to wear the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar goggles.
They look sick. Come on.
AD would look sick in goggles.
Chris Sabo?
AD wore goggles when he was a kid.
Horace Grant. Like, let's go. When I close my eyes and I think of athletes who wore goggles, Horace Grant.
Kurt Rambis, right?
Kareem.
Kurt Rambis.
Kurt Rambis, yeah. Yeah.
Big time.
Kurt Rambis. Chris Sabo. Who else?
Chris Sabo.
Anyone recent do it? I'm trying to think. No one, right?
No, there's a couple of. There was
the kid
the
from
woman
Indiana,
for, Stanford.
Indiana State.
What's the?
Oh, that's right.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Kareem.
Milk Chamberlain.
He wore goggles,
who's,
right?
Who's the woman who dunked for Stanford last year? A couple times.
Oh, I don't know.
In game, she wears goggles. Gosh, the name is evading me.
Yeah, it's evading me too. Speaking of lemon, you guys watch the national championship? South Carolina,
did.
Iowa.
It was a great game.
Great game. Iowa came out. It was 10-0. Boom, boom, boom. We're like, oh, Kayla Clark is serious. She had 21 in the first half. Then along came Raven.
Well, they did
Raven Johnson.
They did a great job denying her just in general before she even got the ball. And then when she did, they were forcing her to give the ball up. Like yep. Staley did exactly as a coach what we thought the other teams should have done, like what Geno should have done and teams prior, where you can't let Caitlin Clark beat you. And Martin had a great game, that little number 20. She's a heck of a ball player. Number 3 was excellent for Iowa. But to me, South Carolina was the more impressive team. They spaced the floor. Their bigs did a great job out-rebounding and scoring Cardoso. Around the rim.
Camila Cardoso, she's going to be a top 5 pick in the WNBA draft. Their freshman play very well. Full Wiley, backup point guard, who's part
Fast
of the Curry brand. Malaysia, Full Wiley, she's going to be a star in this league. So South Carolina goes undefeated. Perfect season. Second championship in 3 years. Don Staley now has 3 national titles as a coach. Got one as a player.
That's crazy.
Olympic gold medals. They've lost 1 game in the last 2 years. But the women's game overall, the tournament, was just, I thought it was just from beginning to end, it was top notch. So I think Caitlin Clark, I think Juju Watkins, I think Paige Beckers, I think South Carolina for really elevating the women's game, man.
Agreed.
I think the future's bright for the women's big game. Well, I really do.
And I know the Monday, you know, night standalone game is great for everybody. I thought it being on a Sunday was easily consumable where
at
there's
noon?
Not a lot going on.
Noon?
I had the Giants on my phone, and I had the women's game up on the big television.
Yeah,
and I watched the whole entire
same
thing.
Here.
And my wife sat there with me, and we enjoyed it. And there's a lot of star power. And then when they showed like 5 players on last year's South Carolina team were drafted into the WNBA, that made it even more impressive.
Right, no doubt.
You go undefeated and go back-to-back, and that – like. I was very impressed. I thought Iowa had a great run, and they fell short to a better team.
And Don Staley was very classy in crediting Caitlin Clark for putting this game, taking this game to another level, what she did. It was just a great, great, great Final Four. Now, the call Friday, moving screen, I don't care how many slow-mo angles, I'm still not calling that.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Well, I was watching it in real time, and I'm texting through. I think you were doing post-game?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm texting.
Well, we're watching it. There's Splash Cousin, who works at NBC, took a picture of us on the TV. We're all watching the final play
it
on my phone.
It was incredible.
It was an incredible game.
Well, the final fourth quarter, like same thing. I'm watching the Warriors on the iPad, and then I got the game on the big screen because I flipped once you guys went to post-game. I put that on the big screen, and I'm watching, and like Iowa was just – shooting themselves in the foot over and over and over. 45 made like 5 different mistakes. She had a good game in the first half, but had like 5 different mistakes, and they squandered that game. And I think we were all robbed of at least seeing if UConn can get the shot off and if it can go in or not. And I know by the letter of the law, it's a foul. I just didn't like it in that sequence.
No.
And I've seen all the different angles and everything. That was a highly physical game.
Yeah.
And anybody that wants to say that that play, that isolated play, was adjudicated properly, well, then I have an entire fourth quarter I want to show you of physical play on both ends where they let, and I'm okay with it, swallow the whistle. Like, I don't know, man.
It was a bad call.
I didn't like it at all.
I didn't like it at all. Hey, guys, 408. Some of us didn't watch anything other than WrestleMania 40 the last couple days.
I missed it. Was it any good?
408, what would you like to be filled in about? Giants won 2 of 3 against the Padres.
Yeah.
Warriors beat the Jazz yesterday. Klay scored 32. JK came back after missing 6 games. He dropped the double-double. Steph didn't play. The A's won a series in Detroit.
Yeah.
Bigger. The Sacramento A's.
Of Las Vegas.
Yeah, of whatever.
By the way, they're waiting to license. Like, you just filed the patent. How did someone not file the patent before them?
Because they're a clown show.
Right.
Keep going.
Oh, sorry. Final Four, Alabama lost to UConn. UConn's playing Purdue. Zach Edey and Purdue's taking on
Purdue,
UConn.
First time since the 60s.
Yeah, no, seriously. What, first time since 1980? Was it the 60s?
Oh, I saw something that first time since 69 or something.
67? Yeah, good for them. Good for them. Maybe Zach Edey does win in Glendale, Arizona.
I watched infinitely more, and I'm talking full games, of the women's than I have of the men's.
Wasn't even close.
And I enjoy the...
Wasn't even close.
The other thing I want to highlight, the Iowa coach, the way that they use Caitlin Clark as the inbounder to get her free releases was really, really smart. And yep. I think more teams need to do that. She's a great passer. That's why she's an inbounder. But on all these baseline inbound plays, these blobs, they use Caitlin Clark as the inbounder, and then they set up two or three passes to get her the ball coming off of action. Yep. It's just really smart. I really enjoyed the X's and O's of Iowa this year.
And not only that, she's so box office that the Las Vegas Aces have already moved their game against the Indiana Fever to the T-Mobile Center. They play at Ultra Michelob Arena, which seats about 10,000 to 12,000.
Okay.
They're moving that game to T-Mobile Center where it's about 20,000 to 22,000. Huh?
What was the one that I went to MGM?
I don't know.
I went to the USC game at, I believe, the MGM. Where's the boxing matches at?
They have them at T-Mobile, MGM. They have them.
It was probably MGM. So I went to that one to watch. And it's not that, I mean, it's a big stadium.
They play Ultra Bowl. T-Mobile Center is the big stadium.
So T-Mobile's the big one. I had not been to that one. Okay, in Vegas.
That's the big one. So they're going to move the Indiana Fever game to T-Mobile Center where Caitlin Clark. All right, we got to run.
Sorry.
Oh, wow. Injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
I will say this. Last night when I got home, I did go down the rabbit hole of WWE, and I watched the ending of Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, and I watched The Rock in there. I don't watch wrestling anymore. I felt like I grew out of it. But when I do see the clips, and I see The Rock, and I see John Cena, and I see Roman Reigns, the Tribal Chief, I do get sucked into it.
And you saw who made an appearance last night.
Jason Kelce.
He's at every WrestleMania.
Who'd he fight?
He came in and chokeslammed The Rock, and then Cody Rhodes won the match.
Was that how Undertaker?
Yeah. Was he more
Undertaker
like,
came out and see that.
Was he more Dead Man Undertaker, or was he more like Rock and Roll?
No, American
Harley?
Badass. No, he was like in between. So he had like a hoodie on, but he just came in, the lights went out, he went in.
He needs to go back to the purple gloves.
I know.
Yeah,
I mean, was hoping Stone Cold come out.
Cena got punked by The Rock. It's hilarious, man. I got sucked into it. Warriors got an easy win over the Utah Jazz, but did lose Draymond Green for a brief period of time. Left the game in the third quarter with back issues. That's something we need to monitor. He was seen grabbing his lower back as he walked back to the Warriors locker room before returning to the bench a few minutes later. Warriors built up a big enough lead that Draymond was not needed for the rest of the night, so we'll monitor Draymond Green's lower back as we get ready for the LA Lakers tomorrow. Kevin Dana, 8:30. That was the injury report brought to you by Boxing Girls and Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping get your workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. 888-957-9570. What do you think about Kaminga coming back and where his mentals are at? What a game for JK getting to the Warriors and this whole playing situation. We'll play out the tiebreakers and all that, plus Giants baseball. That's all coming up in the Rust. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.